Letting Go. This is Dr. Herbert L. Byerly, Dean of the University of Healing here in Campo, California, with the topic of letting go. In all of our lives, we have all had to let go from time to time of people we loved, people who were important to us, because of any number of reasons. But can we release a loved one? In death, divorce, desertion, dalliance, can we release them? That's always a good question. Do we hold on to these people by having their pictures around us? Do we hold on to these people by having mementos of them around us? Do we hold on to these people that have died from this particular experience by keeping all sorts of images of them around and by keeping actually their grave? It would be wonderful to have everyone cremated and just dusted over the ground from dust to dust. That's the biblical saying, but that's not always the case. Death is that which is unreal and untrue. Divorce, legal separation to leave. Desertion, you're deserted, you're abandoned, you're forsaken. And dalliance is to deal lightly with another, to be wasteful of your relationships. Let's talk about these things here for a moment. How can we release someone who has died? Well, if we believe that life is eternal, and we believe that we live forever, then the death that we see is merely the coat that has been put aside. The life, the being, the consciousness continues on other levels of awareness that we can't always see. Now, we know there are other levels of awareness. We know that there are lives within lives within lives right here, and that all time is right now. So, whoever has gotten on the ship and taken off over the edge of the world, we can't see them, but they're very much around. The ship is taking them all sorts of interesting ports. And actually, death is much like that same thing. In death, we travel to all sorts of different ports, all sorts of different experiences that we may have a deja vu of before, or we may have a desire to experience them, and we may not. We may not have a desire to experience them. But we put the causes in motion to have these things. We live a wishful life, and quite likely in our death, all of our wishful things come true. And we experience them because we are the type of person who is able to experience them. Now, that's quite interesting, isn't it? So you have to be careful what you wish for. Because, and what you believe in, too. Now, a lot of people believe that death is, you go to hell or heaven or purgatory. And in hell or heaven or purgatory, these each have their own program. They each have their own way of doing things. And heaven seems to be the nice place, hell seems to be the bad place, and purgatory seems to be the nothing place. Well, perhaps we do go into an experience which is quite similar to that. Perhaps we go into an experience of sweet release from illnesses or problems that we had here and we were not able to face. And so we are then in heaven as we are released from further dealing with those problems. And we are. Because in fact, we remember nothing when we move on to our next dimension. We carry with us nothing of memory from here. We carry our consciousness, we carry the type of person we are, we carry the type of being we are, but on the next dimension, we know nothing of what our previous experience was, because you see, right now, you each, we all, this one is another dimension from where you have been before. That is, where you are living on another isness, on another awareness. Because we are living on thousands and thousands and thousands of dimensions. That sounds pretty much, and it is pretty much. And when we think in the reality of our God consciousness, we can handle it. When we think in our human consciousness, it's beyond our understanding. So, death takes us away from all of these experiences. But is it real or is it untrue? Yes, death is not real and not true. Death is just an illusion. And I don't mean to say just, that's a belittling word. Death is an illusion. The illusion that you don't live anymore. But what you have done is you have taken the life essence. You have taken the life essence out of your body. And in the life essence out of your body, you have replaced it, so to speak, that life essence, with something more wonderful, something more complete and perfect. Now, what is this something that's more wonderful, complete, and perfect? Well, very simply, it is your reality. As you move from level to level of consciousness, you have a moment of seeing your divine self and remembering why you came here in all completeness and correctness, to be yourself and have fun. And then you dive into the next experience, if you will, which you're already there, but you dive into that experience, and what are you experiencing? You're experiencing something altogether new, because it is part of your wish fulfillment. It is part of your life fulfillment. And so whatever you've been wishing for here, be careful, that's pretty much what you're going to be experiencing as you move into this next dimension. Okay. Now, do we die on purpose? And the answer is yes. There's nothing by chance in our world. Everything has a cause. Everything has an effect. And so we choose to die. You say, well, my goodness, this guy has everything going for him. He's a billionaire. He's got a wonderful family, wonderful wife. Why doesn't he just create himself with an eternal body? Well, billionaires have tried to do that. They've been very unsuccessful because they have done one thing wrong. They have tried to work where it is not there to work with. They have tried to work on the physical instead of the spiritual. Oh, there have been those who have gone to seances, and they've gone to spiritualists, and they've gone to people who are acquainted with this activity, and they've said to them, you know, I'd like to continue living. I've got it all together here, and I just like to continue enjoying it. And what do the spiritual leaders tell them? So long as you are possessed by it, you won't be able to keep it. But when you can release it and not be possessed by it, when you can live a harmonious life without living under the possession of wealth, the possession of health, the possession of any of these other things that are in life, then your life can go on tremendously. Many people that we know about who are in their hundreds, they don't come from rich families. They don't come from families who have a lot of abundance to give them foods that they need to give them healthy bodies. They just come from the time for them to relax, and they're relaxing and enjoying it. And they're having a great time. And many of them, many of these elder people are in physically good shape. They can even work in the garden right up to the end, right up to the time they choose to move on. 100, 105 years old. You say, well, come on now. Yes, yes. And you know, there are a lot of very aged people around us that we don't know are aged because they look young. And you don't ask them for the driver's license. You don't say, how old are you? You might say, how old are you? And older than you think. Or not as old as I'd like to be, you know. Not as old as I'm looking forward to being, you know. And, you know, you just drop the subject. But death is one way of separation. And if we can decide, are we going to continue living when someone we love dies? Are we going to continue living? I would say the answer is generally yes. So we're going to continue living. Does that mean we are going to keep his or her picture in our bed every night with us to remind us that we are married to them, or that they're our mother or father or sister or brother or aunt or uncle or cousin or whomever they may be? I would say no. Well, why is it that we make big monuments at the cemetery for them? Why is it that we have their picture up on top of the piano and have the picture of them and us married or whatever, you know? We are possessed by it. And you can be sure that our possession is going to limit us from our growth experience. When we can be released of these possessions, that's wonderful. Now, I often say to each of you, as I look in your monk cells, and I see simplicity there. And I say to myself, where's your personality? Your personality. Where are the things that are important to you? Well, you have some sayings up there on the walls, some affirmations. You are not being tested. You are being fortified. All is in divine order. My life is blessed. And many, many other wonderful statements. But are they yours? If they are yours, then you have them in your mind. You don't need them on the wall. But having them on the wall is perfectly okay. But the big point is, what are you possessed by? Do you have little knickknacks that you love? And if someone dusts it or bothers it or loses it, are you going to, you know, be very unhappy? Or do you just have little things and they stay as long as they want to stay and no big deal? No big deal. You're not possessed by it. But you see, we are possessed by these things. And being possessed by these things, they keep us from fulfilling whatever it is that we are here to fulfill. Now, what is it that we're here to fulfill? Be ourselves and have fun. And we cannot be ourselves and have fun when we have the message of somebody else in front of us, when we have the trinkets of somebody else in front of us, when we have the pictures of somebody else. I say to Ingeborg, where's the picture of Persolia? Oh, he's in the bottom of my suitcase. No. Or he's in the bottom of my desk drawer. Well, what's he doing down there? Why is he there at all? You know he's there. You know he's there. And so why don't you just let him go? You know, let him be. You can certainly keep him if you want. This is not a statement at this moment to get rid of all your family pictures. What this is a statement is, don't be possessed by them. Don't be owned by their presence. And every time you look at it and say, oh, isn't that cute, you know. And like you look at your grandchildren when they were little babies, oh, wasn't she sweet. And, you know, how long are you going to do that? And when are you going to release it and move on? Hey, when are you going to have some more grandchildren? When are you going to have some great-grandchildren? You know, get them going. It won't be long. Marcello will be ready to have family of his own. He'll come up with another dozen children, and you'll have many more names to remember. Maybe he'll do the same thing, all M's. Now, death is whatever it is. We can understand it or not. It doesn't matter. It is what it is. It takes place, and our spirit, our soul, our life force, our essence moves out and goes off into whatever it chooses to do next. And it does choose it. And you say, well, then why doesn't it think of to stay right here, you know, come back in the body here? It can do that if it wants to. But it doesn't remember that it had been here. It's only a rare bird that does remember those things, and they're very unusual. You know, like, what's his name? Paramahansa Yogananda remembered that he had been living as a boy in a nearby community, and that he died early, and then was born as Paramahansa. And so his parents didn't agree to that. They said, that's a lot of foolishness. And he said, well, let's go meet these people. So they went to meet him, and sure enough, everything he said was true, even though he had never known those people in his physical life before. But who knows what those things are? Now, we have another way of separation. And this is the separation by divorce. Divorce is a tough separation. It's a separation where two people have lived together very harmoniously, perhaps, for a long period of time, and all of a sudden they grew apart, not all of a sudden, but they grew apart over the long period of time, and are now ready to be walking down different streets, down different roads, down different paths for themselves, and they could walk it together, but they forgot that the woman or the man that they married is a pretty terrific person. And they didn't take that woman or that man into their confidence as they were growing and as they were expanding their way. And so therefore, there came a time where the two of them were no longer thinking alike, and they were most harmonious to be apart. And this is what a legal separation should really be, the opportunity to leave and go and do your thing. But if you have not solved what you were supposed to solve in the relationship, learning love, learning caring about one another, learning responsibility, learning dignity, learning caring in a beautiful way. If you haven't learned that, your life is going to be one series of events in which you're going to have an opportunity to learn it if you want, or you can be bowled down by it and made to feel very insecure. Now, this goes on both sides. Sometimes the self-righteous wife will say, "My husband left me." And then sometimes the self-righteous husband will say, "My wife left me." Well, they didn't. You pushed them out. You pushed them out by not sharing with them who you are, your depth of your being. You didn't share with them how much you loved life and how much you loved everything in the world. You didn't share it with them, but you could have. And so the time comes when they say, "Hey, I got to go and do my own thing. I don't want to be stifled anymore because I don't feel like telling you these things. Because when I tell you this, you laugh at me and you say, 'Ha!' You know, and it makes it very difficult for me to tell you. And so since we really have nothing in common anymore, the best thing is to separate and get a divorce. And then you do it legally, and you can go on and find someone else who might be harmonious with you. But you will find out the only person who is harmonious with you and your world and your path is yourself. Why we have marriages is a good question, but maybe to have children. But a lot of people have children without marriage. But I'm not recommending that or suggesting that. I'm only saying that if you're going to have a marriage, make sure that the two of you allow each other room to grow. And make sure that if the husband says, "Well, sweetheart, I'll see you in a year," just stay married, stay loving to him. And when he comes back in a year, say, "Hey, I love you." Don't ask him any questions. Don't ask him anything. He will never do anything that he wouldn't do in your presence. Everything he does is honorable and good. And if the wife says, "Hey, sweetheart, I'll see you in 2 years," and he says, "Wow." And so she takes off, and he gets a babysitter, and he gets everything all set up so that he can run the house and the world in the proper way. 2 years she comes back, and he loves her. And he says, "Well, sweetheart, I'm sure glad to see you. You're wonderful." No question about anything that she did, because he knows that her integrity is intact. And she would never do anything that was not harmonious with herself. Never. Now, that's the kind of marriage that would be ideal. Of course, you don't know where they exist, but they have to exist with you. Now, do you believe in yourself? If you believe in yourself, then you can believe in the other person. But if you don't believe in yourself, you won't ever believe in another person. So just remember, if you're having a divorce because of not getting along together, it's because you haven't believed in yourself. When you start believing in yourself, you never have to separate. You each are individuals who can live and experience life as your own measure allows, and doing it together is a joy. You share something very precious with someone who's very precious to you. Now, desertion is another area. This happens in every divorce, where one deserts the other. Now, they do it legally, and they desert the other person, and they say, "Hey, I'm not going to be on your ship anymore," you know, or "You're not going to be on my ship anymore," or whatever they say. And so then they abandon the other person, and they give them no attention. But the children, how do they feel about this? Well, now if the children are taken in with the discussion and allowed to know what the parents are thinking, then the children will not feel abandoned or forsaken. They'll say, "Oh, now I'm going to have two homes to be in, you know. That's going to be great. Now, Dad, you move close to Disneyland, will you?" And so, you see, it can be a fun thing. The life of a child at home is only for so many years. And presumably, you don't start out at one. You're going to have 3 to 5 years old. So 18 from 5 is what? Or 5 from 18 is 13 years. So 13 years that the kids would be living in this mixed-up world. And as long as the parents are happy separated, that's great. But when the husband gets up and abandons the household because he just can't take it anymore, and he runs off and disappears into the wilderness of the community and the cities around, that's tough on everybody. Because whether they know it or not, he's loved. And you care about him. And the children care about their father. Where is their dad? What is he doing? You know, is he all right? Is he healthy? Is he happy? We don't want anything bad to happen to him. But you see, that's forgotten oftentimes when the frustration of things getting too much for you make you want to run. And many men have run, and many women have run. Many women have run. They have abandoned their home because they felt they were being abused and mistreated, and perhaps they were. And perhaps they were abusing and mistreating just as much as they were being abused and mistreated, because it's usually a two-way street. Because you can always get up and leave. Or you could go and report it to the police, and then the other person will be taken away. And you won't have them around at all. So it's up to you how you want to handle it. But the thing is, you always abandon, you desert the people you love. And you abandon them when you don't take them into your love, into your confidence, into your joy. Now, the last one we have here is the dalliance. To deal lightly with another, to be wasteful of your relationship. How many men and women do we know who run around with other people who also are married or who are not married? And they haven't chosen or bothered to get a divorce or bothered to be separated, and they go and have other relationships. Well, now, in the animal kingdom, that's perfectly acceptable. Although there are some animals in the animal kingdom that are monogamous and will not allow that. They will fight to the death to protect their family home, to protect their den and what have you. Now, when people go around just flippantly having relationships, just flippantly having affairs while they're married, that's called a dalliance. And what they're doing is they're dealing lightly with another person's rights. They're dealing lightly with their responsibility of being a parent or being a family member. And the other is dealing lightly by not making a statement about it. Now, how do you let go of these people? How do you release them, since you haven't been intelligent enough to do it in a sincere way up to now? How do you start releasing them? Well, we have said how to overcome the shock of all of a sudden you're alone, or all of a sudden you're alone and got the kids. Like my mother said to my dad, if he didn't give her time to do her studies and do her work on her spiritual life, that she was going to leave him and the five kids and let him take care of them. And he quickly decided that wasn't a good option. And he allowed her to work from noon until 3 every day on her spiritual life. Now, wasn't that wonderful of him? Wasn't that wonderful of him? Well, it's certainly more wonderful than he had been before in not allowing it. But at least she was able to do that. And, of course, it expanded as it was necessary to expand. As her workload in maintaining the family and the house reduced, she had more time. And then she got to a point where she says, you know, Herb, I think it's time we have a maid. We can afford it. We should have a maid. And so we got a maid. And she did a lot of things around there, and Mother spent more time in her study on her spiritual way, and she had a great time. But how to overcome the shock of someone who just abandons the household or who wants to divorce or who dies? We must find a replacement or a new focus on something which excites us, or else we will go crazy because we're so used to having someone with us. Like many of these elderly people, they are so used to sleeping with their husband or wife, and then at the age of 80, that they each are 80, one dies, and then here's the other side of their bed is empty, you know? And they may have been having relationships, having sex up through their 80s, you know, and enjoying life, and they miss it. Now, they don't have too many qualms about it. They have acclimated themselves to death. They realize what it's all about. And so they go out and they find a partner who likes what they like. They like to have sex. They like to have someone to warm their bed, someone to sit in the evening with and talk to. You say, well, that doesn't sound so great. Well, it does. It does. After spending their life having someone with whom they could do that. And after the death, he's gone. Now, how does a mother let go of her son? Not very easily. A mother is challenged by her son because the son wants to get out and do his own thing. Now, what's the hardest thing for a mother to do? The hardest thing for a mother is to let her son buy a motorcycle or some plaything that might kill him. And it could very easily do that, you know, because if it is not handled right, it will kill him. Okay? So, your child has got himself a new ultralight airplane or a motorcycle or scuba gear where he goes under the ocean and anything could happen in your breathing apparatus and you die. And, you know, just all these neat stuff. And so the mother says, oh, 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 she cries and moans about it. And then she talks to me and I say, hey, don't jump the gun. Nothing happened. And nothing will happen when you surround him with your pure white light of love. And you surround him with the awareness that he is always doing whatever is in divine right order for him to do. He is always living a harmonious, proper life that allows him to live a long, healthy life. Well, now, but, hey, no buts. You either put that cause in motion or you put the other cause in motion that he'll die. He'll kill himself on doing these things. One of these days, you're going to kill yourself. One of these days, you're going to kill yourself. How many times have you heard a parent say that to their children when they're driving carelessly or doing something? Instead of saying, son, I'm proud of you. You always drive with dignity. You always drive with responsibility. I'm proud of you, you know? And that sort of stuff. But, of course, normally you start feeding that early on into the children. And they have this built up in them as they go along, which is a very wonderful thing for them to do. Well, now, if someone leaves you, this is a statement that we've used quite often, let them go. If they belong to you, they will return. If they do not belong to you and do not return, they never did belong to you. Well, now, Ellen reminds us, now that's possession. Well, no, it's not possession. If you're married and you have a relationship, you know, you're married, and someone leaves you, if they leave you and don't return, they never belonged to you in the first place. Well, it's true. Now, if they return, it's because they like the way your relationship was with them. If they don't return, they don't like the way your relationship was with them. Pure and simple. Now, how do you handle that? How do you let go of these things? How do you let go of death, divorce, and desertion, and dalliance, and all these other things? How do you let go? Well, you get your big nose out of other people's business. Now, I am going to say to you, here is a little seed, as Zarathustra would say, my teacher. Here is a little seed, and here is a little flower pot. Now you take this seed and you put it in this flower pot. Now the one, I'm giving it to all of you. Now the one who has the seed germinate the quickest and brings it to flower the quickest is the genius. And so you all go over your seed and you love it and you talk to it and you water it, maybe too much, and you put it out in the sun, maybe too much, and the seed starts coming up, and it's coming up just beautiful. But then all of a sudden, you start having another problem. And the problem that you have is, we are exactly 28 minutes. The problem that you have is that you don't believe in it. You don't say, I surround this seed with my pure white light of love. All its ways are peace and all its paths are pleasantness. Period, end, and release it. That seed will grow like a giant. But it takes sincere release in doing it. But if you don't release it, then you will not have the glorious seed fulfilled and come to fruition. Now this is what we have to do with our little children. Our little children need to be released so they can grow. Our husbands and our wives and our mothers and fathers and our relatives and friends, they all need to be released so they can grow. Whether it's death or divorce or desertion or dalliance or whether they're still at home. They need to be released and loved, and blessed, that all their ways are peace and all their paths are pleasantness. And when that happens, then you have let go. And then you will find that you will be happy with your nose not in their business. You will be happy with not feeling that you're controlling them. You'll be happy knowing that you are your own master. And to be your own master means that you like yourself and you be yourself and you have fun just where you are. This is only the beginning of letting go. Letting go goes on and on and on every moment of every day in our life. So I see each of you now releasing the past, living in the present, and having a glorious time doing that. I love you. I love you. I love you.